Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
I read an interview that's in which you stated that you went to the most exclusive private school in the world.
One of, yeah, definitely.
Can you say what that is? Or
I think I can. I went to Harrow School.
Does it offend you at all when people call you posh?
It doesn't offend me at all because I know, like, I am. Like, it's my background. I'm not going to hide the fact that I am posh. Mm. For a long time, like at uni, I tried to. They were like, oh, you're a posh wanker. It's like, well, have a chat with me. Yes, I am posh. Yes, I come from a very privileged background. Mm. But then have a chat with me, get to know me, and then you can make a decision. YouTube, I feel like, is such a meritocratic environment that only the best content, if you make good content, only if you're good at what you do, do you succeed.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, definitely, in that sense that I want to succeed on YouTube because I want to prove, hey, look, I've done this myself. I've been able to break into an industry that doesn't matter who the hell you are.
Yeah, that's a very incredible way to put it. In this video, they dress up their friend as the most crazy model ever, and they send him to Paris Fashion Week?
London Fashion Week first, and then we did Paris Fashion Week.
And you happened to be that friend.
I was that friend, yeah. I suddenly got loads of messages on my Instagram, all in Mandarin, and there's one guy, he spoke English, he was like, mate, you're famous in China. When I sometimes meet people in the street, they're like, oh, you're that bloke who takes the piss out of posh people, but you're also posh. Also, almost as if trying to get me to say, oh my God, I am. I can't believe I'm doing this.
But that's what makes you most qualified for that job.
Exactly. I'm like, who else is going to be able to do this?
Yeah. One of your most recent videos that I watched and enjoyed was your search for a stock image girl.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea.
It was, yeah, one of the most, probably the video series I'm most proud of.
That was just an idea I've never seen anyone do before. How did that come into your head?
Jack Mates Happy Hour.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Jack Mates Happy Hour. I'm excited for this one. Stevie, first of all, how's things?
That was very quick and intense. Really good, thank you. As good as they were an hour ago when you asked me.
For fuck's sake. You do realise you have to let people think that we don't film them all in one day.
You're wearing the same shirt.
That is true. Now, today on the show, we have YouTuber, presenter, comedian, meal deal expert, some would say. It's Max Fosh.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mate, I'm buzzing to have you in. Been a fan of the content for a long time.
Oh, means a lot. Thank you.
Me and Fee often sit at home eating dinner, watching Street Smart.
We're
big fans. And she just met you outside and she came up to me when you was in here and she was like, he's lovely. So you have the validation.
Now,
Max, before we get on to Street Smart a bit later on in the show, you kind of like... Is it Street Smart where you rate the meal deals, or is that something else?
Yeah, that is a version of Street Smart, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. And so you sit down and just basically interview the public about their meal deal choices.
Yeah.
So what better place to start than rating ours?
Okay, sure. I thought you were going to ask me for mine, and then I haven't said anybody what my meal deal is. So.
Oh, really?
So you could get an exclusive depending on how good your meal deal is.
I'm withholding my judgment on you as a person.
Oh, right.
Until I get this because I've been through some shit over these meal deals. That's the nicest way to put it.
It's a bit of a meme. Here.
Yeah, okay. So I want to know how you feel about it.
So we're going to do this in a very structured 1-2-3 point scoring system. Very you nice. Give the point to either me or Stevie. We go for the main, then we go for the snack, and then we go for the dessert. Here's a bit of a question. Are you going to ask about the main? Stevie calls the sandwich the main. And I think that's far too like, that's too official.
This isn't what I get abused for, but now he's adding to it, so yeah. That's good.
Guys, we're talking about meal deals on a podcast. I don't think we can go too official. I think I'm with Stevie on it. The sandwich is the main. What's the pudding then, Stevie? The drink or the snack?
Oh.
Well, it could be the snack if you get a chocolate.
It depends the sweeter of the two. So if you're getting a chocolate bar, that's the pudding.
Yeah.
But if you're getting like a sweet kind of like chocolate milkshake, that's the pudding.
Good.
Yeah?
But does that mean you have to start with your starter main and dessert?
That's the only way you're allowed to eat them.
No, you can mix it up. You can be a maverick of your own meal deal.
Okay, sure.
How would Logan Paul eat a meal deal?
I don't know.
And we also have quite a good production value here. So we're not just going to tell you what we have.
Can I already...
We're going to show you.
...give you minus points?
Why, for Sainsbury's?
For Sainsbury's.
Yeah, it's only because that's the closest place to this supermarket.
Okay, fine.
I still went to Tesco's.
Oh, Stevie's already miles ahead.
You got mine for me.
Yeah, because I sent you a voice note saying, are we still getting the meal deals for the Max Fosh episode? You replied an hour and a half later and said, I don't know if you're still near Tesco's. Surprisingly, I wasn't, but I thought I probably do need to get it.
It's because I was driving, because some of us have a driver's license, because some of us are adults.
Now, boys. Now, boys, come on.
I will say, though, I don't have a Tesco bag. I didn't have a bag at all. Save the environment. I just threw it in my backpack. So I've currently just got a paper bag that Fiona gave me.
So sorry, but when you said I didn't have a bag at all, you did have a bag. It was just made out of paper.
No, Fiona just gave me this so I could hide it.
Track my statement.
Who started then?
Right, so you start with your main. And okay. I mean, calling it a main, as I always say, it seems like it should come under a cloche.
Okay, I'll start with my main.
I'll pretend you describe what I'm doing.
You're pulling it out of a bag?
No, I'm taking it fucking cloche. Go on. Don't even know what it's called. Cloche.
Like, okay. I do like to mix this up a lot, but I just fancied this today. Okay. So I've gone for a chicken Caesar wrap from Tesco.
Really good. Really good, but you can't. The quality of the chicken Caesar literally depends on each wrap individually. You can get one that's absolutely terrible.
I have found that, but I'm hopeful.
You can get a worldie.
I'm hopeful for a worldie here.
Sorry.
I've squashed the bag a bit.
So in what way? So I've never had one of these. So it's like the bits of chicken.
So yeah, so not sometimes that when you get a bad chicken Caesar wrap, you get some of the really watery ones.
Oh.
And it's really not very nice.
Oh, this looks like it could. That might be mayo.
It's probably mayo.
Also, yeah. It's quite small.
Yeah, I did debate going for a sub of a similar kind, but what does it say in the little yellow circle on the front there?
Meal deal. It says...
What does it say, Jack?
It says meal deal.
What does it say after meal deal?
It's hard to read, actually, under this light.
Does it say main?
Meal deal main.
I think it says main.
It says meal hand wrapped. I've never... I'm going to put it out there. I've never had a wrap in a meal deal. I'm always a sandwich kind of guy.
Okay.
So there you go. Right. So I've got to combat that. Really.
Yeah. And I'm sure you'll do a great job.
I've gone for Sainsbury's, but as I say, Max, it wouldn't be my preference. It's just the one that's closest to the studio.
Okay.
And I forgot to get them. So I've gone for a free range egg and cress on malted bread.
I've never seen someone look
so
disappointed.
What are you doing?
What?
We are. Firstly, that opening that sandwich is kind of is an international crime anywhere. Opening it in a small podcast studio.
I'll just let you know, I'm not going to open it in the studio.
Okay, thank God for that. It still does not redeem you for the fact of getting egg and cress.
Do you not like
terrible sandwich?
Okay, I think we know who's getting this point.
Terrible.
But extra points because it doesn't say main. Maybe just vegetarian. Everyone's veggie these days.
I'll give. Hey, yes, but it's still egg and cress. Like, you're not an 85 year old woman called Linda. Like,
don't assume what I am. I think you
speaking of assumptions, shall we say I get the
Stevie wins that one. But can I just say that, Stevie, you could win each individual item of the meal deal, but Jack could win overall.
Oh,
I mean, it's unlikely because he's got an egg and cress. But there was a situation where you could have good stuff, but together as a meal deal as a total thing,
it doesn't work as a full meal. Yeah. Okay, no,
wow.
I get that. That's fair.
That's interesting to me. What makes a great meal deal then?
I mean, what you, the process... I mean, guys, to be fair, I know as much of meal deals as you do. I've done three videos on them, and they did quite well.
So we're branding you as the meal deal expert.
Okay,
so.
You can do that. What you have to go through a journey.
Right.
Get my bullshit cap on. Go through a journey when you're eating a meal deal. You have to think, can
MAGA hat.
Yeah. Can I put my crisps in this sandwich? For example, your sandwich, I can't put crisps in egg and cress.
That would be right.
You haven't seen the crisps yet. They might be versatile crisps.
I don't know how versatile those crisps are going to be, but they're not going to be fitting in that sandwich, mate. But also, Steve, you can't cram crisps in there unless you're going hula hoops and you're stuffing them in the top.
I can't, but I'd made sure my side doesn't need to go inside, but it complements it well.
Calling it a side. Mad.
This is where we might have the issue.
Okay.
Right. So my side, as people are probably already knowing as they're listening to this,
yeah,
is popcorn.
Oh.
This began as I was trying to lose weight, so I wanted to go for something that wasn't quite as bad as crisps and chocolate. And I saw these are only still 135 calories, but that's about a third of what a chocolate bar would be.
Mm.
And they're just light, and they you get so much in these compared to a bag of crisps. So I have my reason behind it, but I get a lot of abuse for it.
The sob story of you trying to lose weight isn't going to work.
Damn it!
It's a shit side, we all know it. It's air in a bag with a few little things at the bottom. It's a bit boring. You also have like occupational hazards with eating popcorn. You go around, you have a kernel stuck in your teeth all day. Ooh. You just don't want that.
No.
It can sometimes hurt your gums, depending on how far it goes in. So, Stevie, it's fine.
I mean, that's probably the nicest thing people have said about it.
You could have come with like the Tyrrell's vegetable crisps, and then like I would have left. But
yeah,
at the moment, it's just fine.
So what you're saying is this round is Jack's
to lose.
With popcorn, I've been eating it a little bit more recently than I did when I first slagged you off for it.
Popcorn is great. Can I just say, I'm a big fan of popcorn.
This is what I say, in a certain place. There's a time and a place for popcorn.
Microwavable popcorn with pops.
I've never done my own.
You've never microwaved popcorn?
No.
Oh, this is where... Oh, Jack. This is where it all comes
to life. You literally just get a bag and throw it in the microwave.
Yeah.
Do you?
2.5 minutes. Butter-kissed or pops.
Butter-kissed, yeah, good.
And then you just go hell for leather.
Wow.
It's great. Throw a film on in the living room.
But why would you go through that much admin when you can just get a
warm.
Oh, good.
It's warm.
Right.
It's just better. And what do you mean admin? 2.5 minutes in the microwave.
He's a simple man.
Yeah. No, but I've been eating popcorn recently, and you get to the end, it's like a minefield.
Yeah,
like,
the kernels at the bottom is
like
a bit...
Little bullets in there, ready to just cut your teeth up. Horrible. Horrible. Anyway, I'll go for my snack.
Yeah.
This is big. What's he got?
Right, I've gone for a bag, big old grab bag, it would seem, of Quavers.
He is a 12-year-old boy.
No, okay. Two thoughts. Quavers, great crisp.
Yeah.
My second thought is, Jack, are you trying to make yourself the smelliest man in the UK?
I have got my socks out and my feet aren't great, so...
What is your drink going to be? Egg and cress Quavers? I'm surprised you've got a fiancé.
Just a carton of cheese. Do I get a point?
No, Quavers are a great crisp. Give me the.
I'm losing to popcorn.
Yeah, no. I think...
Okay, so we're 1-1.
1-1, yeah.
We're 1-1 going into the final round. I like this.
That conveniently sets it up for a finale.
Yeah.
Now we're going for the drink.
Yeah, so I've gone... You've enjoyed a good 12 minutes in the studio so far.
Mm-hmm.
How hot are you feeling at the moment?
Feeling all right.
So I've gone kind of smart with that. So I've never actually got this in a meal deal before, but I got a flavoured water. So I've gone lemon and lime. I'm not a big fan of strawberry. Normally I just get normal water, but we've got about 15 bottles of Buxton around, so I thought I'd want to mix up the flavour.
Mm.
So that is it.
Have you got that because you're worried about your glucose intake? Are you worried about the amount of sugar you're eating?
No, I'm not going to go for a sob story on this one.
Okay. Learned his lesson. It's good. It reminds me of being like 8 years old. Like, cause it was
oh,
like,
and Quavers didn't?
No, yeah, of course they did. But I'm saying that Volvic Touch of Fruit filled with volcanicity, first of all, great branding they've done there. That's stuck in my mind. But it was the water that my mum gave me to like make me drink water. Because it was like, oh, this is fun water.
Yeah.
The strawberry version rather than the lemon lime. It's good. Your teeth feel really weird afterwards.
Oh, they do.
I didn't think about that when I made the purchase.
No. Well, what you could do, you could eat the popcorn, right? But go hell for leather and end up just losing your teeth on them little bullets at the bottom. Then you won't have any teeth to dirty up with the shitty 9-year-old water.
So this is what he's saying with when the meal deal comes together.
Exactly.
You've perfected it for me. You've just won me the game.
That's okay, because I think I'm going to claw it back with my drink.
Okay, Jack, you still got the egg and cress sandwich. It's putting you in deadlock's place.
I've gone for a Vita Coco pressed coconut water.
You are. I think you're having a laugh here.
Why?
I honestly think you've like thought, do you know what? Let's get the worst meal deal I can imagine and put it in front of Max and see what happens.
No, this is my choice. New year, new me. I'm trying to lose weight.
That doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
I literally just witnessed it not work, and I went for the same tactic. So, I'm just trying to be healthy, Max. You don't look happy.
I have never had it.
Right, well, you try it if you want.
I've had the blue one.
What's the blue one?
It's one another one from Vita Coco, I think.
Oh, what same coconut water?
Yeah, coconut water.
Right.
It's fine. You don't. Let's say you finished a game. This is what I think about when I think of a drink for a meal deal. Mm-hmm. You finished a game of footy, right?
Yeah.
You're parched.
Yeah.
What do you want to have? You'd guzzle a lot of.
Yeah.
It's not Vita Coco, mate.
No, but this is in a meal deal setting. I wouldn't finish a game of footy and run and get a meal deal.
And that's true.
Mm. I've done you at your own game there, Fosh, and you know it.
You can say what you like. Stevie's won that round.
Oh, bollocks. All right, Stevie, you win. You win. You were right. That is the worst meal deal I could think of. So I wasn't actually trying to... People at home are going to be unsubscribing from this podcast.
So. I will say, so he sent me this voice note and he specifically asked for what he wanted. I didn't just mug him off.
Well, when you say what I wanted...
Okay, what did you say? You said chicken and bacon...
And a bit of lettuce, maybe.
Chicken and bacon sandwich was his first choice.
Yeah, good.
Your crisps were cheese and onion...
No.
Salt and vinegar... Yeah.
Which one?
McCoy's.
Oh, Ridge. Get those Ridgey goodness.
Yeah. And then your drink, you either asked for just a water, sugar-free Red Bull, or a Ribena.
Hey, if you went for a Ribena...
I love a Ribena.
With that salt and vinegar and the chicken and bacon and lettuce sandwich, that's a really fucking good meal deal.
Yeah.
So the only reason he doesn't have that is because Sainsbury's had pretty much nothing in stock.
Yeah.
Or did they not?
No, I got there and I was like, I've got nothing. What can I get? And then that was...
And I just went to Sainsbury's because I thought maybe you were having me on. So I was like, I'll go to Sainsbury's and I'll find a fucking sandwich. There was none. You were right. It shows that it was just egg and cress left.
Yeah. Sainsbury's is dreadful for meal deals.
Yeah, this is what I was going to ask. What is the best place to get a meal deal?
Like... I feel like Hallowed Turf is Tesco.
Yeah.
Boots as well, but Boots are more expensive. Boots £3.50 last time I checked, which kind of loses the whole allure of a meal
They
deal.
Did go up. They've gone back down to £3.30.
I'm so glad my campaign worked.
That was like me in the Zoella calendar. Yeah. Next day, half price.
So for some reason, I've got in my mind that Tesco is like the only place you can get a meal deal, which isn't true because Sainsbury do have a great selection of sandwiches. The chicken and chorizo is an absolute stellar sandwich you can get at Sainsbury's.
Wow.
I'm a big fan.
That sounds good.
It does sound great.
Do they put a sauce in it?
They put a little bit of mayo in there.
I saw a new one in Tesco today you might like. Barbecue chicken.
Yeah, you're right.
I've not seen that as a sandwich.
You know me well.
Jack, do you like barbecue-based Domino's pizzas?
I go sometimes if I make your own, I go half and half.
Okay.
Is that bad?
I mean, I don't think that barbecue-based should be allowed. But
why?
It just ruins the whole taste of whatever's on the pizza.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I go half and half, but tomato one side, barbecue the other, but only because I prefer the barbecue cold. And you never eat a full pizza.
That's true.
So I eat the tomato when it's hot, and then when I let the barbecue cool down, and then it's already got the flavour. You don't need a sauce.
There's a man who's thought through this.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's the reason I'm trying to lose weight.
I used to work at a pizza restaurant, and we used to be able to make our own ones for end of shift, and I would go half and half, and barbecue goes better with vegetable stuff like peppers, and it almost like a little like a fajita in a way, and then the tomato, whack a load of meat on there.
Yeah, no, I will agree with that.
Yeah,
for example, Domino's barbecue base. Nah, no thanks.
I think sometimes that can be a bit too tangy, a bit too overpowering. Mm. Yeah, what's your Domino's order? This is all this show's going to be.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Whoever's watching this
done so much great content, and we're just boiling it down to what's your Domino's
the
order?
Stuff.
What do you want to eat? So Domino's order, I'll probably go make your own. Bit of pepperoni on there,
good.
Ham on there, and maybe sweet corn as well.
Oh, okay, don't mind it.
But also, I have in the past just gone plain margarita because, as Stevie says, like afterwards, the next day, it's probably the best thing you could get because you don't want any... Like when the meat and the veg gets cold, you just kind of see them for what they truly are. processed. And so with cheese and tomato, you're getting pretty much what you're given. So it's quite a nice thing to have in the next day.
That's a good way to put it. But margarita, I just think that's a sin to get that.
Yeah, it's a bit boring.
Yeah. I think the issue with that is it's not much more money. to have toppings. So like the only reason.
What is, this is one of life's questions. I don't think anyone's really, this could be on one of your unconventionals or, or your new spy series.
Hey,
right.
Good.
Get to the bottom of this.
I was going to say, don't say good before he asks the question.
You've learned your lesson. What is that sausage all about that Domino's do? That is a weird...
What, the circle?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like...
It's
kind
grey?
Of a centimetre width. In yeah. It's grey. Yeah. It does look odd.
It is very weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it tastes all right, though.
I guess that's all that matters, isn't it?
Right. Who cares what you're actually putting in as long as you're enjoying
if you're ordering
it?
From Domino's, you've kind of already said to yourself, I don't know what I'm eating.
I can't imagine you order Domino's much, Max.
I do.
Do you?
I'm more of a Nando's. I like Nando's.
Yeah.
I get Domino's.
I'm sorry, guys, but I am going to have to ask him. Nando's order. So I want to know.
Have you eaten anywhere else ever? Because we can just go through this.
Guys, my ask pizza order is absolutely mental. So my Nando's order is butterfly chicken burger.
Good man.
Normally medium.
Yeah.
It's actually like mango and the other one. They've done it recently. They've done like a passion fruit sauce, which I quite like.
Have
anyway,
they? That's
so
very bizarre.
Double chicken burger, two sides, your coleslaw and then peri salted chips. Sorry.
I do like the coleslaw.
It's not bad. That's not a bad shout. Not a bad shout.
Sometimes the broccoli as well.
Yeah.
It's good, yeah.
Get wow.
Get those greens in there.
Healthy man. Mm. Healthy man. Right, we'll move on from food. You were getting excited, hoping I was going to ask you about your Nando's order.
No, because I'd just find more... I'd be giving more fuel to be abused with. So.
The garlic bread.
I do like the garlic bread. I was waiting for you to moan about the way you eat sweet corn.
What, I cut it off with a knife and fork?
It's not very manly at all, is it?
Guys, I'm not an expert on sweet corn.
You said he was an expert on everything food.
No, I, the reason why I cut it off with a knife and fork is because I was gnawing a bit of corn on the cob once in a Nando's, and somebody took a photo of me and uploaded it, and it's like the worst photo ever. So now I take precaution, cut it off.
You're giving into the trolls there, Jack.
I do like the thought that you cut it with an open fork just on the off chance you are in a place, an establishment where someone is going to take a photo of you.
Around,
paparazzi.
Fool me once, can't fool me twice. It's not the phrase. I don't know it. Now, Max, you're obviously quite a well-spoken chappy. Mm. I read an interview that's, in which you stated that you went to the most exclusive private school in the world. Or one thereof.
One of, yeah, definitely.
Can you say what that is? Or
I think I can. I went to Harrow School.
Right.
In the UK.
Okay, now I want to know everything.
Yes, and I would like to tell you everything. I would like to tell you everything because I'm not at the school anymore, but also there's an element of, I know it would be very easy to come in here and just slag the place off. And
oh, so you're not pro it then?
I'm neither. Like, it taught me some amazing things, and it also, I also had some tough times there, so like neither one or the other. But yeah, Harrow, I was there for 5 years. Harrow and Eton are kind of obviously in the UK seen as...
He says obviously. I was going to say, to give you an idea of how scummy we are, never heard of it.
Okay.
I haven't, no.
Okay, so, okay, right. There's... You've heard of Eton.
Yeah.
So Harrow is...
Eton mess.
It is a bit of a...
Eton Park in Norwich.
It's a different thing.
So Harrow School is a place... It's in Harrow on the Hill. It's got its own... It's in its own little, like, village, almost. It and Eton have been kind of... I'm not going to say it is, but have been running alongside as one of the oldest, like, private schools in the UK. Like, Eton was founded in, like, 1200, something ridiculous. Not right. And Harrow is not long after.
Right.
And it's where Winston Churchill went to school.
Harrow?
Yeah, Harrow. Yeah.
Oh,
Winston
mad.
Churchill was there. We have to wear straw boaters. We have to wear black tie every Sunday for chapel. You live in boarding houses of 70 boys, and there's like 13 boarding houses. You do everything. You live there for like kind of a month at a time, then go home for a weekend, then come back. It's pretty mad.
I'm just shocked that you went on a Sunday.
No, it was your boarding. So, like, you are there.
Oh.
You are there all the time. So, you get dropped off at the beginning of term, and you have 3 weeks at school. Then you get an exeat, which is a weekend away, weekend at home. So I was lucky. I lived about 45 minutes from the school. So my mum came, picked me up, went home for the weekend. And then you did that in another 3 weeks, half term, 3 weeks, weekend. So you only went home, like, once a month, really.
And
you lived in school the whole time. We had school on Saturdays.
Every day you had something you had to do.
Yeah, every day. Like, you basically, your whole time is structured the whole time. because obviously if you just get kind of teenage boys all together and they're not doing something, like there's all sort of like, I don't know, fights happen or I don't know. So
is, what I can't imagine what a fight would look like at Harrow.
This is the thing, like, and
so imagine like someone slapping someone with a glove.
Yeah, do they call it a game of fisticuffs?
This is the thing, like, I was in a very, very privileged position to be able to go to this school, but the school is not like what you would imagine one of these schools to be. Like, yes, we wear ridiculous outfits and we look like idiots.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the, oh, tally-ho chap, how are you doing? Nice to see you. That doesn't really happen. No one really talks like that. Everyone kind of talks like me, which is, yeah, I am posh. I sound posh.
Yeah.
But it's not like this, the uber kind of posh that you kind of imagine.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
What is a straw boater?
So a boater is it's a hat.
Mm.
Good start. And if you can imagine what the guys in Venice wear when they're punting down the river, okay, it goes round all the time and it's got a little bit.
We've got a boater on it.
Yeah, I think Fiona is now going to Google a straw boater hat.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, type in straw boater Harrow.
Oh, here we go. Exclusives.
Yeah, so there we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Mate, that is ridiculous.
He was in my boarding house, that bloke.
Was he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
That's mental.
So every day, so we would have, obviously, like, oh, here we go, it's a PowerPoint now.
This is the first ever presentation we've had live on Happy Hour.
This was my year. I know those guys there.
That's so funny.
Hey, I recognise him.
That's not Harrow, that's Shrewsbury.
Oh, but that little ginger kid has done something before. I don't know.
That's nothing to do with Harrow, though.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, we would live in boarding houses and you would go from classroom to classroom, which are in different buildings, and you obviously have to walk on the street and you'd have to wear your boater. Whenever you're out in public, you wear your boater. If you walk past a teacher who's walking the other way, you tip your hat. You acknowledge them. If it's a female teacher, you almost take off your cap to say good afternoon or good morning. Lived in a boarding house. On Wednesdays and Fridays, we had lessons until 1 o'clock. And then after that, you played sport all afternoon. So that's why we had Saturday school, because we missed out on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Oh, surely you'd just be thinking, give us Saturday off and we'll just go right through on the Wednesday and Friday.
No. So Saturday school's up till 1 o'clock, and then you play sport matches in the afternoon. And then Sunday at 11 is chapel. And
then
you normally play sport again in the afternoon. So
what do you do on evenings?
So evenings you'd have dinner and then you'd go back to your boarding house where they would sign you in, just check whether you were back in the house, didn't do a runner. And then you'd have prep for 2 hours. You'd sit in your room and you would do, I don't know, your homework for the day, and then you'd had an hour after prep and then it was bedtime.
Oh my word. That's, sorry, but that sounds like fucking hell.
I didn't know anything and I didn't know any better. Like,
yeah.
I went to primary school and then went to Harrow at the age of 13,
right?
And so I was suddenly put in this environment and you kind of have to adapt really quickly, because although like there are great opportunities that Harrow presented me, there were also some downsides. Like having 70 boys aged between 13 and 18 in a boarding house living with each other, literally side by side for 3 weeks, there's going to be some problems.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be like arguments, disagreements. So there's a few of that. You learn quite quickly what to do, what not to do. My dad had been to the school like 30, 40 years earlier. My dad was a really, really good sportsman. He played for the kind of young England team in cricket and rugby as well. And so everyone knew who my dad was, all the teachers.
Like, oh, wow.
When I first got there, like, oh, Foch, are you Matthew's son? I was like, yeah, yeah. And so there was always almost an expectation for me to go there and to be this like sporting god.
Yeah.
That my dad had been at this school that everyone had spoken about.
And are you?
No.
A disappointment.
I was okay at cricket. So I managed to get into the first team for cricket. And it was very much like an American high school. If you're in one of the sports teams, you are ipso facto cool.
Right.
So I managed to get away with being part of the cool group, even though I didn't really get on with them.
And
like, I haven't spoken to any of my mates from school afterwards. Like, none of my mates I've got from school.
Really?
Two friends of mine are from Harrow.
Do you, if we just sort of tar them all with the same brush and we do call them posh, everyone that goes there is posh, do you get on better with posh people, or do you get on better with like common muck like Zach and Jay?
Very few of my friends would be called posh.
Right.
But again, it's not a problem, but it's what happens. Like, you get very much pigeonholed into a group of people.
Mm.
And there are the people that you see online or like I've interviewed them who are so incredibly posh.
Mm.
And it's almost like it's their adjective. Like, they kind of want to prove to the world that, like, they've had some things people say, oh, you're posh, therefore you're a twat. Mm. So therefore they've even run with that, and they were like, yeah, no, I am super posh, got so many houses, love horses, mummy and daddy pay for everything. And I think it's like a defense mechanism for them, because they don't want to kind of, like, I don't know, argue with it or whatever.
Mm.
So I'm better mates definitely with kind of people who didn't go to the private school kind of sector. But
right.
Having said that, there are loads of kids who went to Harrow who were on scholarships, who weren't from, there were very, very few, a very few percent of the population are the kind of the imagination you would have
right.
think of,
like, the stereotype of,
yeah. of a posh person.
Does it offend you at all when people call you posh?
It doesn't offend me at all, because I know, like, I am, like, it's my background. I'm not going to hide the fact that I am posh.
Mm.
And I, for a long time, like at uni, I tried to.
Mm.
They were like, oh, you're a posh wanker. It's like, well, get to know me and yeah. then you can make that decision. I think that that's what I've tried quite hard, is that, like, have a chat with me. Yes, I am posh. Yes, I come from a very privileged background.
Mm.
But then have a chat with me, get to know me, and then you can make a decision. And so I struggle with that quite a lot, because I was like, oh, well, I don't really know what to do or what to say. But
right.
actually, I just kind of thought, do you know what? Look, I can't change where I'm from.
Yeah.
As long as I'm nice to people and I treat people with respect, then that's the most important thing.
I do feel like the stereotype of the posh person, they often have to start on the back foot.
Yeah.
Because people who aren't, like, we would probably, like, before...
But I also, quickly, I don't begrudge that at all.
Mm.
I don't think that's a bad thing, because we've been so lucky in what we've had growing up. So I don't think it's a bad thing that you should be on the back foot when you meet someone.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you not think it's kind of a jealousy thing, though, from, like, someone who's not seen as posh to come from a family very different? Do you think they get a bit arsy with posh people because they don't have the stuff they have?
I don't know, because, like, I'm lucky enough to have done some crazy things in my life, yeah. And when I saw... I'm not putting you in this bracket, Max, but when I saw Bobby Misner's Who Is Bobby video, Bobby portrays this posh sort of appearance and whatnot, but I didn't once think, oh, I'm jealous of him, he's got a house in Saint-Tropez. Like, I was thinking, you're a twat.
Yeah. But you're at an age that you can properly understand that now. But if you were 12 and you saw another kid who had a way nicer house than you and stuff, at that age it's a bit more like, oh my god,
I don't know. I think I am still quite ignorant to stuff like that. Like, if there was a new politician on the news, he was like, oh, today we're going to be doing it. But then there was also somebody that spoke a bit more like me going today, and they had the same policies, I'd probably tend to sway more towards the person that speaks like me. I think it's just what you're comfortable. What you're comfortable with, and it doesn't help when you have people like Bobby Misner running around. Like,
don't talk about Bobby Misner.
He sat in that very seat.
I don't know the guy. But when I saw that video, I wasn't on YouTube. I wasn't really doing YouTube.
Mm.
And I thought, A, how arrogant is that?
Mm.
B, how insensitive is that?
Mm.
And C, why?
That's a great question.
Because, look, that was a perfect example of someone who has got wealth, fine, who didn't procure it himself,
yeah,
but is then... like gesticulating to everybody in the world that he did.
Mm.
Or maybe not that he did, but he's flaunting that wealth.
Yeah.
And for me, that, like, really, really frustrated me, because having, like, knowing people from that background, being from that background myself, and having the access to some of the things that Bobby Misner has, I just think it's so unnecessary and peacocking to be like, guys, look at me. And then subsequently, what has he done?
Yeah.
If he wanted to do it to start a YouTube career and then maybe prove to other people what he could do as a creator, fine. I looked through his stuff. It's all just... I saw him pop up in the Jake Paul Armani house party and over the 4th of July. It's like, what are you doing there?
Oh, that's what he said to us, isn't it? That he was wanting to become a creator.
Mm.
And it didn't really...
Did he edit that first video?
I think he's quite good at editing. I'll give him that.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Really fair play.
I think he is, because I think that Candyland Productions might be his production company, which I don't quote me on that. I think he is decent at editing, but I don't know it for a fact. But every you're right. The best question you ask is why. Like, every video he makes is a trailer for his life.
For his life. And I can tell you, it's not like that.
No.
It won't be like that.
And no.
It's just disappointing. because I kind of felt like, look, if you are going to be from that community, that's fine. I don't think you should ever hide who you are. Mm. But don't flaunt it in such a way when you haven't even made it yourself.
Yeah.
If you have done that, like if you're a PewDiePie of this world and you suddenly become into huge amounts of money, completely your prerogative to do whatever the fuck you like with your money.
It was like he was sat telling people to work really hard and achieve their goals when he's not worked hard and been handed it on silver platter.
And I will admit, that's probably one of the reasons why I started doing YouTube, because I did all the internships. Mm. I got to sit on the desk at this like incredibly prestigious like place in the city through a connection and this and that. And I just didn't enjoy it. And so when I started, I wanted to be a radio presenter.
Right.
Because and that's where I started. And then I kind of got into YouTube. But YouTube, I feel like, is such a meritocratic environment that only the best content, if you make good content, only if you're good at what you do, do you succeed.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, definitely in that sense, that I want to succeed on YouTube because I want to prove to myself and other people who say, oh, posh people get everything they get because they're posh and their families are wealthy.
Yeah.
I've wanted to become successful on YouTube because for myself, to be able to prove, okay, look, I've done this myself. I've been able to break into an industry that doesn't matter who the hell you are.
Yeah, that's a very
as long as your content
incredible way to put it, because yeah, being posh, you don't have any advantage. No. And if anything, you have a bit more of a mountain to climb, because the average Joe is probably going to, without knowing you, I think you're a bit of a dick.
Yeah,
and then fine. when they get to know you, they can make their own minds.
Well, the whole of the internet is just about being relatable, isn't it? And I know I
can't be relatable where I'm from, but hopefully I can be relatable in the conversations I have with people.
But you're without being too blatant, you're quite self-deprecating, which is good.
Like
in the fact that you know you're posh, you interview other posh people, and you kind of make fun at that stereotype, which in turn you're making fun at your own stereotype, which I then think makes you relatable to people.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And actually, the posh videos are the hate that I get the most.
Oh, wow!
Because other posh people, when I like sometimes meet people in the street, they're like, "Oh, you're that bloke who takes the piss out of posh people, but you're also posh." Also, almost as if trying to get me to say, "Oh my god, I am." I can't believe I'm doing this.
But that's what makes you most qualified for that job.
Exactly. I'm like, who else is going to be able to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't look like a prick doing it.
I could never deconstruct YouTubers until I became a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, exactly. So I have absolutely no problem with posh people coming at me and saying, oh, you take the piss out of posh people, you're also posh. I was like, I know. And also, like, if anything, it just kind of helped. Well, it kind of gave one of the reasons why I started doing the posh video is when the first posh video I did, I went to the Royal Agricultural University in Cirencester, which is a farming university. And they have got, like, the real kind of stereotypical posh people, because they're all from farming stock,
right?
So they all live in the country. And, oh no, that's really good stuff. I actually the reason I first went was because I wanted to almost pastiche posh people, because I thought I saw the Bobby Mizner stuff. And I thought, look, these people have obviously they think that. Well, I often feel that posh people do it because they want to get a rise out of people. But I thought, you look so stupid to everybody else. So I went and did that video because I wanted to kind of say, look, guys, you can be posh, of course. I'm not saying don't be posh, but like, you can just be a bit more, like, I don't know. I'm not telling anyone to be what they are.
But, yeah.
To be a bit more kind of sensitive about what they talk about.
Yeah.
There are other things going out there in the world. And I actually got kicked out of there.
Did you?
Yeah, I went in and it was their big end of summer ball. And I went in, literally parked my car around the back. This is what Harrow does give you. Gives you this kind of assumed confidence that you can just walk into somewhere. And
right.
You're confident enough that you can walk in somewhere and just chat and you'll be okay. So I walked in and they were all kind of smoking. Hey, how are you doing now? I'm super excited for this evening. I kind of got there with a massive kind of like camera and a light and a microphone. And luckily some of them had seen the videos before, so they all kind of like came over and I was having a chat with them. And just as I was about to leave, I was about to do the intro and I thought, fuck, there's someone, the big security coming over to me. And I hadn't done the intro yet. So I thought, I need to get this intro done outside the place where they're all going into this party. And so this guy comes over and goes, there's proper geese. He's like, are you here for the party, mate? I was like, yeah, I am. He's like, dude, you know who's here? I didn't know anyone, so I just
plucked like a posh name out of my head, like Ned.
He was like, oh, he lives next door.
He was like, all right. And he walked off. It gave me 25 seconds to do the intro. I had to do it in one take because I knew that he was about to go and get one of the teachers or one of the professors. He knew that I shouldn't have been there. I did the intro and then she was like, oh, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Like, you, like, please get out.
And wow.
Kicked out. And I'm surprised that they haven't messaged me afterwards saying, please, can you take it down?
What grounds would they have for that? Oh, you're just filming on their property?
Maybe I was filming on their property.
Right.
I probably shouldn't say that because I'm probably not going to come after me. but it's the video, the Royal Agricultural University of Cirencester video is the one video that kind of people say all the time, oh yeah, I watched your video with the posh kind of farmers.
Yeah, see, I'm sure I've seen it, but I can't pick it out because to me, a posh person is a posh person. I don't know who the ultra posh are. Yeah. But do you need to be rich to be posh?
Mm-mm.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. The origin of the word posh is that to be really...
Hang on, I think I know it.
Okay, what do you think it is? Where's the name posh come from?
So it's a shipping term, and it's port outwards, starboard home.
There you go.
Are you impressed?
You've done research for the first time ever on this show.
No, I haven't. No, I already knew it. I think Fiona told me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Fiona's probably... she's not posh by any means, but she's more that way. Like her mum and dad and my mum and dad, they're like contrasting. Like.
Yeah, I think a lot of posh can be seen purely in an accent now, though.
Yeah,
like, I work with people that people call posh. When I first moved to Bristol, people called me posh purely because I don't talk exactly like a farmer, but I do have a Norwich twang, so it's kind of like...
It's because I think a reason for a lot of people, like when I go abroad, a lot of people think that the Norfolk accent is posh because we say Bath. We don't say Bath.
Mm. No,
and Bath is quite a hard A. Like, you know that psychic video I was telling you about? One of the ladies that I spoke to, who apparently contacted my nan, she told me that I was very upper class and I had a private education. Now, if I go to Norwich and I speak to my mates, they're like, "You've got the worst Norwich accent of anyone." So it's just all a perception thing, isn't it? From other people.
So, in answer to your question, I don't think it is like one way or the other. I don't think you need much. I don't know what being posh is, but there is obviously the accent element of it seems to be the thing that makes people posh or not.
I think posh can be sort of boiled down to whether or not you have a roundabout in the front garden.
In which case, then I'm not posh, guys.
There you go, confirmed. Okay, cool. But before we go to an ad break, and when we come back, I really want to delve into Max Fosh content, because if you haven't seen it, guys, I've shouted out a lot on the YouTube channel. I'm a big fan. We'll be delving into all your different series and whatnot. But just to finish on this half on a bit of a cliche, I'm going to ask you some very quick fire kind of council estate questions and see.
This is going to be clipped, and I'm going to live with this for years.
What is a council estate question?
Well, they're not. But I was born and raised on a council estate. And I just want to see how Max's mind works. So,
okay.
If you don't mind, have you ever found porn in a park bush?
Not in a park bush. I found it in a park.
No, but not in the bush.
Where was the park?
At school.
Oh, bloody hell.
There you go.
Oh, what, are we talking magazine?
Yeah, magazine is almost like this like weird drug deal, but with nuts. So you would... this isn't going to make me sound any better, but my school had a golf course, right?
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
They all do.
And so there were benches around there, and so boys would kind of like drop off magazines and you'd go pick them up.
Really?
See,
that's not too dissimilar to how we did it, but...
Hey, 14-year-old boys are 14-year-old boys.
That's true. We found a dildo once.
I didn't find anything.
I took it home and my auntie made... I was very young.
Okay.
I was like... And my auntie made me disinfect my hands and put it in the bin.
Good auntie.
Have you ever played... There's four games there. We'll go through them quickly. Have you ever played Rebounds?
Yeah, that's like you're kicking a ball against the wall, isn't it?
Yep.
Pretty self-explanatory, yeah?
Wembley Singles?
Yeah. That's like...
I'm falling in love with you, slowly. Yeah. Dog's Arse?
No, I've never played Dog's Arse.
You've never played Dog's Arse?
I'm sure I've got a different name for it.
Well, so when you play a game like Wembley Singles or Headers and Volleys...
Yeah, Headers and Volleys, great game.
The loser of that game gets the ball booted at their arse.
Oh, yeah, we call it bums.
Oh.
That's a way posher way of saying it.
Yeah.
Anyone up for a game of bums? Oh, actually,
I'm sure there's a private school joke in there somewhere. But
someone's going to rack in the comments.
I will not stoop that low.
No, they're exactly the same thing. But that's actually the main thing that we used to do at school. It's like there was a little...
Max, come on.
The main thing we did at school was bums.
And it was going to say, well...
Kirby?
Yeah, I know what that is, but I've never played it.
Okay.
Such a good game.
Did you ever have a tag?
What?
I get like a...
Oh, I thought you meant like prison.
An electronic tag.
No, he means a graffiti tag.
I didn't have a graffiti tag.
You did have an electronic prison tag?
No comment.
It was like an instant.
I put a dildo in a bush.
Let's just say somebody didn't want to play bums.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And scene.
What was it? Well, I've lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, my tag, thanks for asking, was called
that's what I'm here for.
Was called New Craze.
What?
Because I thought I was going to be the new craze.
Original.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Jackmate was born, so I very much was, in a way. What are some nicknames of people you grew up with?
Of the people I grew up with?
Because like, I imagine like Council Estate is going to be like...
Yeah, what did you... I had Bubsy. Good friend.
Bubsy. We had Rolo.
Walshy.
Swampy.
It was literally just last names. So I was just Fosh, Foshy, and then like, obviously just like Posh, Fish Fingers.
What?
That was not after a particular incident. May I add? No, it was just literally just people's last names.
Okay.
Yeah,
we had that. I always found that anyone called Lewis or Louis, you just called them by the last name. Wellham. More just people I know now. Kennedy, yeah.
Walshy was a Lewis.
Louis Walsh.
That was why they called him.
Oh, I thought you meant Louis Walsh. I was like, do people call him Walshy?
His name was Lewis Wiseman Tye, but
that's quite tricky.
Yeah, so people just started calling him Walshy because of Louis Walsh, which was, I don't know how nicknames come about. No one ever called me my surname because you'd just be calling me White all the time, and that's quite weird.
Yeah,
I get called though. I found that I get called my full name. So some people just get called Stevie or Jack. I'm always Max Fosh.
I think that's because both of your names are one syllable. Because I get called Jack Dean a lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So Jack Dean, Max.
But I think Jackmate's taken that away from you.
Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah. People get really like, you know, like people who are too cool to like your YouTube videos. Like my football mates will be like, they won't claim to watch them or anything, and they'll go, oh, Jack mate, and then they go, oh, I don't mean like Jack mate. They get really embarrassed by it.
That's quite strange. Thinking about it, I've never once said just your first name. Every time
Max Fosh.
I've always said Max Fosh. Yeah.
It's like a superhero's name. It's quite good.
Apparently, at university, there was a guy who saw my name on a list and thought, I want to be friends with that guy. That's a great name.
That's the only reason we got you in, you know.
That guy's now my flatmate.
So. Oh, wow.
That's how it works.
So it works.
Wow. What song defined your teenage years?
Tinchy Strider.
What?
Or N-dubs. There was a lot of N-dubs. Tinchy Strider.
Number one.
Hangover by Tyo Cruz. Oh, what a belter that was.
Bloody hell.
Here's one. Lil Wayne and Millie. When I first heard that, I thought the iPod was broken. Because he goes, Millie.
Oh, God.
And I was like,
these are not the songs we expected.
No.
What were you expecting me to say? Like, God Save England? In Jerusalem?
Mine would probably be... Panic at the Disco. I write sins, not tragedies.
I think the obvious is
great song.
The Killers, Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
But because I feel like the ones you named, like N-dubs and that, like I think N-dubs are like a bunch of cringe bags, really. And I feel like that's like, not slacking you off, but like that's what like a posh person would be like, yeah, no, I like bloody N-dubs. Like that would be the...
So that's why he's actually said, well, Lil Wayne.
Yeah, he's never heard it.
Who are these people?
Lil Wayne.
Oh, he is good.
Okay, I think we'll go for a break there. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Max about Zach and Jay, about all of his series on YouTube. And I'm sure we'll mention a meal deal at some point again. Come back after this.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello guys and welcome back to Jackmate's Happy Hour. Sorry about the first half. Spoke a lot about meal deals, Domino's, Nando's.
That's just happy hour, so you're apologising for our show.
Yeah, that's testament to you actually, Max, because when we have a guest that we don't feel like just like a pal, just like a host, then then we have to talk about them. We feel compelled to. But the fact that we've...
We don't want to talk about you.
The fact that we've pinned off your entire career...
I'm dull.
No, it's actually a testament to you. How would you explain what it is you do? Because I've written down on my sheet, comedian, presenter, YouTuber. But how would you sum you up? Or how would you sum your YouTube channel up to someone who hadn't seen it?
So my YouTube channel is... very inoffensive, light-hearted, bingeable, funny content, hopefully. There's no point for what I'm doing. I mean, there's not much point for most YouTubers in the content they make.
That's very true.
But it's meant to be... I picked people like Kasim G back in the day. He was my idol.
Mate, tell me about it. 100%.
And I saw that... this is when I started YouTube. I saw the format, the interview on the street format. Saw him do it. He was an absolute god. And I thought... I reckon I could give you a good stab at that. So I started doing the street smart stuff. And so if I was to encapsulate all of it, it would be light-hearted, inoffensive comedy.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Perfect. California on. What a series.
He was the first guy doing it.
Yeah.
It was incredibly funny. He was just towing the line. Then he went to the conventions, and if you look at my beginning of my YouTube, like that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Street interviews, and then I went to conventions.
Yeah,
because I just saw Kasim G and I absolutely loved him.
Do you think Kasim, because I haven't watched his stuff for years now because he hasn't really done much for years, do you think it still holds its own now? Or do you think
I think there's a lot of the jokes he makes are very problematic.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be considered problematic in today's world. I think as pieces of content, I still think they're really funny.
Yeah.
They're not as sharply edited as you like see on YouTube nowadays.
Yeah.
Which I think he might not be able to like hold an audience like he used to be able to.
But I think he
made a shitload of money and then went away because he had a production company that he sold.
Right.
For seven figures, eight figures.
Really?
I read this, and that's why. And now he just does podcasting.
I don't know why I'm surprised that you kind of like used to love him, because I see a lot of that in your content. That is essentially what you do, isn't it?
It's
quick fire street interviews with the weird and wonderful kind of general public.
And actually, I've always wanted to do a street smart on that exact place he did it on Venice Beach.
Oh,
it's that mural.
Yeah.
So if anyone's watching, Kasim G, I will fly to California and do a video with you, without you, on that boardwalk. So
I've been there a few times, and it is one of the strangest places.
Oh, it's mad.
Yeah.
I've been once.
Me and Fiona stayed in a hotel right on that beach. I think it was called On the Beach or something. And there was a shooting outside our hotel room, meaning we couldn't go back into the hotel. We had to go around the back, which is very
still
bizarre.
Still want to do that video?
California dreaming, baby.
Have you always been, because you're quite confident you're very confident in them. Have you always been confident, or has that been something that you've had to learn whilst doing that series?
Yeah, I think to go back to school, like I said earlier, it's something that you kind of get taught at school, because you get thrown into these situations with older people, with parents, with teachers, and events where you need to be quite confident. You need to learn how to hold your own. So I definitely would say I've always been confident, but that wasn't enough, I don't think, to have made Street Smart what it is now. That all came from my like presenting stuff that I used to do. And it took a long, long time for me to kind of work out how this thing works, or how I'm going to like portray myself.
Fair enough. What's your aim with it?
The street smart stuff, I don't know.
honestly, just to have fun.
Yeah.
That's the honestly the aim that I have with all the content I make, is just to have fun and have crazy experiences.
Street Smart's quite a lot like a much calmer version of Billy Eichner. Oh, Billy on the Street.
Billy on the Street. Billy
Who's
Eichner.
That?
Billy Eichner, American, but I don't think you'd like it. It's a very intense. He runs up to people, asks a question, but he'll shout in their face. Mm. They'll answer. But then he's done it with celebrities. He'll have a celebrity run around and ask questions with him.
Oh, did he do one? Yeah, I think
I know. I think he's acting now, so he was in American Horror Story. Mm. But I saw a few episodes of it. Some of them were a bit too much for me. I was like taken back by it. It's like...
Offensive?
No, just like it's very... In your face, whereas you're obviously a bit more relaxed, quick-witted, but he's just a bit like, I'll shout at you, go to the next person and shout at them.
Oh, right.
It's a game show called For a Dollar, so he will go up to, like, suddenly someone walking down the street in New York and he'll run, For a Dollar, who's your favourite member of Boyzone? And these people are like, it's like, two leg next, and it runs off.
Yeah.
And I've seen actually I've seen on a video online, the production crew, what it looks like, because obviously he just runs. And so he's got two cameras. He's got about four producers running behind with waivers, like going up to the person, like, can you sign this to me? And so a lot of the faces are like pixelated because they didn't get the consent.
Oh, wow. Yours is a lot more kind of relaxed.
Yeah, much more relaxed.
I think the appeal of yours is how you're obviously very witty, very quick. And, it's weird because you do it in a way that's not actually nasty, but you do give the people some stick, don't you?
I do a little bit. I don't want to. If someone says something stupid, I will react to that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make anyone look like an absolute dick in response. If people come to me and like rip me in a video, I'll keep it in because it's funny.
Yeah.
I don't want to have this idea that I'm going there to take the piss out of someone to really get them to look like an idiot. That's not really my aim at all. But it does often happen.
Have you ever like offended anyone?
Not really. I learned very quickly. So when I started doing it with at uni.
Yeah.
So I had the beginning of like all of the YouTube stuff was I wanted to do these street interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a society at the university called Newcastle TV. I was at Newcastle and they were doing their own version. And I said, oh, can I come be a presenter? And they were like, nah. I don't think they said no. It's like, oh, we're not really doing anything at the moment. It's not really a good time. So I thought, well, hold on. It's on the street. I can just do it myself. So I then set myself a goal of like doing five videos in 5 days at Freshers Week in my last year. I didn't know what to do with a camera or editing or anything like that. I didn't even know how to interview people, what the best way to go about it was. And every night I would film, wake up the next day, edit the last night, post, go out and film. And just did that for 5 days. And that was a huge baptism by fire, not only with like editing, but how to talk to people, how to get comedy out of people.
Mm.
Has anyone got angry at me? No, because initially it was all with drunk people.
Mm.
And I realized very quickly with drunk people that whatever you give them, they will give back to you times 10.
Right.
So if you go, guys, how are we? You go out for a few beers. Can I grab for a quick interview, 2 minutes of your time?
Mm.
Then they're so much more conducive to it.
Yeah.
But if you go, hey, mate, can I grab for an interview? Then they're all immediately got the guard up. And also the microphone is great because it's really sensitive. So I can say something under my breath. they won't hear it at all. And that's happened a few times.
Have you ever, is that how you met Zach and Jay?
No. So I was at uni for my last year. I was making these Street Smart videos outside clubs in Newcastle. And as you can imagine, Newcastle, there was an abundance of people to talk to outside nightclubs. And I was also doing like hospital radio stuff. And I was trying to be a presenter. I was only on Facebook. I had about like 15,000 likes on Facebook.
Mm. And I've seen your videos do the rounds on Facebook.
Yeah, they initially did the rounds massively because it was so much. I learned it's relationship engagement. So it's at Jack. Oh my God, have you seen they're outside this club?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the content. It's more like, oh, we recognize this place or we recognize this person. So initially that's how the videos did well within the Newcastle sphere, because it was all like the bloke that you've shagged the week before or the person you don't hate is in this video.
Right.
Like your mates. So I was making those videos. I'd done about 40, 50 of them. I'd even done a tour around the UK unis. So I'd gone to different unis around the UK.
That you did like 12 unis in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did 12 unis in 2 weeks. And I would go, I would film, I would get in the car, drive to the next place, wake up the next day, edit the previous night, film, drive to the next place. It was hell for 2 weeks. It was absolute hell.
Why? Why did you want to do that?
Because I just thought there's something here. I was also just graduated from uni. I was unemployed. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I thought, well, let's just give this a real go.
Yeah.
And I was expecting I was posting every day. Then there'd be like real growth on Facebook and it would do really, really well. nothing happened.
Right.
It's like, fuck, what do I do? And then I moved into a flat and I walked past Zach. And I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I'd watched his Zach Allsop content for a long, long time. He just started the Zach and Joe show. And I walked past him and I messaged him on Instagram. I said, hi, mate. I saw you walking in Shepherd's Bush today. I'd love to be able to help out filming for you. But what I realized very quickly was that we all probably get these messages as YouTubers quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I thought, what value can I bring to him in this scenario? So I was such a dick. I put, I make videos myself. I've got 10 million views on Facebook. But I was really like pushing myself.
Yeah.
And I thought nothing of it. And then I went to bed and I woke up the next morning. It was 8:30. I rolled over, looked at my phone, and he'd replied and said, can you get to the O2 Arena by 9:30? And I was in Shepherd's Bush. And it was literally one of those movie moments where you look at the watch, look at your phone, look at the camera, let's go. And so I like threw on, I didn't know what we were filming. It's like to film for like Zach and Joe would be so cool. So I was big fans of them.
Yeah.
And I rocked up to the O2 Arena. And they didn't tell me what was going on. And I rocked up and they were being interviewed by the police. And so my first meeting of both of them, they saw me coming, this guy with a camera that they'd met the day before. My voice keeps breaking because I'm going through puberty. I remember Jamie just going like, you're out, lads, a bit busy. And talking to these coppers. And eventually they were, because they were doing a brand deal for Red Bull with Travis Pastrana on the top of the O2 Arena. Like, so we walked up onto this dome. Having never met Zach and Jay before, and sent a message within 24 hours, I was on top of the O2 drinking champagne with Travis Pastrana, this like legend of the X Games world. Like, we were chatting to them, how are you guys doing? Like, and like meeting, like chatting to Zach and Jay more, and then we went for a beer afterwards. And then we lived quite close to each other. So we would become we became mates. We saw each other around and I would help film for them sometimes whenever they needed someone. This was early days for them. This was probably, they were on about 30, 40, 50K as a duo.
Right.
And then they called me up and they said, we've got an idea for a video that we want you to be involved with. Are you keen? And then Fashion Week happened.
I think we're going to dive into that, aren't we?
Yeah, I think
so
we are.
So you were, let me remember the name. So you were Maximus Bucharest, mm-hmm. from Bucharest. This was this character. And Zach and Jay, for anyone who doesn't know, we've had them on the show before. A couple of lovely lads, a couple of YouTubers. Don't want to say pranksters, but maybe.
No, I don't think pranksters, but like they definitely formed a whole like niche of breaking into places.
Yeah.
So they got onto the Olympic gold medal winner's bus or the medal winner's bus.
And Zach got in Conor McGregor's dressing room.
Yeah, it'd be more like tricksters.
Yeah, I don't know how you brand it, but they're very, very clever, very inventive. Mm. And a lot of people, Nico, myself, have taken elements of their videos and putting it into our own. So pioneers, some would say. And their biggest banger, their most popular video to date is We Faked a Model to the Top of Fashion Week. It's currently on 17 million views.
That's mental.
That's only in YouTube, I can add.
Yeah, is there more on...
On Weibo, Chinese social media, it got about 75 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they can't monetize that again.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And in this video, they dress up, their friend is the most crazy model ever, and they send him to Paris Fashion Week?
London Fashion Week first, and then we did Paris Fashion Week.
And you happened to be that friend.
I was that friend, yeah. So I got a call from Zach saying, hi, mate, I want you to be in a video. Don't ask questions. We're having a meeting about it later. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll come along. And like, just think, in my position, I was on 1300 subscribers at the time. I was on about 20,000 likes on Facebook. So I thought anything I can like be with these guys would be really good exposure for me.
Mm.
So I met them and they were like, we want to put a fake model and get them somehow to break into London Fashion Week. So I thought, okay, how are we going to do this? So we met. Unfortunately, they thought about this halfway through London Fashion Week. So we had 48 hours to pull this off. So all our plan was to go to Primark, dress in the most ridiculous stuff, go back to my flat, and then like do something. That was the extent of it. Like, nothing more than that. So we went back to my flat. We bought some weird stuff, bought some weird glasses, and we then got stuff that was lying around my flat. So my mum had given me a carpet or a rug for my sofa that we then realized, oh, hold on, if we pin it like this, it looks like a dress. I had some marigold gloves that I hadn't opened. So we then just took them and thought, how can we make this a bit weirder? Oh, let's just snip the ends off.
Mm.
So we'd like cut the ends of the fingers off. We also went to WH Smith and we got fragile packing tape.
and that you'd normally get. And we thought, well, what could we do with, let's maybe like use the letters of fragile and get them to say something else. Mm. So we then reordered them to say life, rage, gag, and roar. It. And then we just stuck that onto a t-shirt.
It's so stupid. It's genius.
So stupid. And then we realized, okay, how are we going to make a scene? Well, paparazzi are going to be around. So we then got our friend Coco to come with us, and she had a camera, and then Zach and Jay had a camera. So we walked to Somerset House in London, which is where it was all happening. Mm-hmm. And it was the end of the day. It was getting dark. And then Coco then started like flashing the camera. Like at this point, we didn't know the name of the model. We didn't know anything else. I was just dressed.
Wow. You hadn't even come up with the name.
No, we didn't know what the name was. And so they were like, so Coco started flashing the camera and started saying, Max, over here. Then Zach started doing it, or Jamie started doing it. And then the paparazzi just went, who's this bloke? And then just went mental. So I was then standing. This was also great. We got a see-through bag from Primark, and then with the fragile packing tape managed to write the words "my emotional baggage" on the bag.
Good, I like it.
And we had like a heart, like an anatomically correct heart that we'd like bought from Tiger, that was in there. So I was just like standing there, like being like a model. Mm. So being really rude to people, looking really bored. And that's when Zach had a photographer come up to him, and he said, "Oh my God, who's this guy?" And Zach just blurted out, "He's called Maximus Bucharest from Bucharest." And so that's how the name stuck. So that evening we went home and we thought, oh, that did all right. And we then went on Instagram, and I was all over like the London Fashion Week Instagram for like street fashion, like, oh, this guy Maximus Bucharest. And so we then, using that info, we then messaged one of the shows the next day, be like, we've got this new model, he's making a big scene. Like, we really think you should come to your show. And they were like, yeah, fine, here's two tickets. So
how is it that easy?
So then they gave us two tickets. And I remember, so this is when we had a ticket. So I knew I was getting in. So I thought, I can go mental. I can look ridiculous and not worry about people turning, looking at me like, oh, you look awful. Mm. So that point, we then found plastic packaging tape that you get, like these big bubbles.
Yeah, the air pocket.
The air
thing.
Pocket.
Yeah.
And we then safety pinned them to my shirt. So they became like a collar of sorts. We got, Zach had some shoes from prison when he'd spent a night in a cell. So Zach brought us some European grade prison shoes that I wore. And then I wore pretty much the same outfit, and I just kind of walked straight in. But what's interesting is what you don't know is that when I was putting it together, it was so intricate. The safety pins like came out, and one of them was digging into my back. So it had come out of its guts. One was in my back. Oh. I said to them on the tube, I was like, guys, there's a safety pin on my back. They were like, oh, it's fine. And so I was generally quite like annoyed because I was in so much pain. So I was walking around, like people are asking me for pictures. Who are you dressed as? And at which point I thought, well, who the hell am I going to say I'm dressed as? So I thought, well, we got the fragile packing tape from WH Smith. So I looked up what WH stood for. So I just said, I'm wearing Walton Henry Smith.
Oh, so good.
They bought it hook, line, and sinker.
So good.
So we did that video. Zach posted it, and I thought, oh, that went quite well. People were really enjoying it. And then I suddenly got loads of messages on my Instagram, all in Mandarin.
Oh.
And I was like, what's going on here? And there's one guy who spoke English. He was like, mate, you're famous in China. I said, what do you mean I'm famous in China? He's like, someone took the video, uploaded like Chinese subtitles to it, and then whacked it on Weibo, which is their social media. And it went so mega leap, like 75 million people saw it in China. I ended up being on the like in the Pakistani Daily News. Like it just went mad. So that's the story of the London Fashion Week.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then we tried to do it again.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
What was, before you get onto that, that part, what was this? You've got a story about some earrings.
Oh, so this was at the second time.
Oh, okay.
It. Yeah. Right. So we then thought, right, fucking hell, Zach and Jay got 17 million views. My channel went from 1,300 subscribers to 50K overnight. And that very much put me on the path. And so we thought, fucking hell, guys, we've got a gold mine here.
Yeah.
So we then thought, right, well, Paris Fashion Week is coming up. Why don't we just do this? But this time we plan it and we seriously, like, we get this done. So we thought, okay, what could we do? And there was a guy in the first video who'd given me a concrete block that he was selling, and he called himself Johnny Concrete. This guy was hilarious. And so Johnny Concrete was a furniture maker who made loads of furniture in concrete. So we called up Johnny Concrete and said, Johnny, could you make a concrete dress? And he was the most accommodating guy. I was like, yeah, I'll see what I can do. 2 days later, he's like, yeah, guys, I've made a concrete dress for you. So he walked in and there was this wearable piece of concrete. He'd fashioned, it was basically just a square. So I put my head in, put the arms out the side and just waddled around.
How heavy was that?
It was heavy. Like, you couldn't wear it for more than 15 minutes.
Right.
And then with that, along with... So we thought, we need two looks for Maxim. Maxim's going to wear the concrete outfit, mm-hmm. but he also needs something else. Because initially, we were planning on selling merch with Maximus.
Yeah.
So we got a baby to point at a word in the dictionary, and we were going to make a whole, like, look out of that word.
Yeah.
So the word was perpendicular. So
that's quite the word.
Which is like a great word because there's like angles and like perpendicular to you. So we then thought, okay, let's make a t-shirt that has like the textbook definition of perpendicular on it. We were going to sell the t-shirt and we were going to put it on this enormous, it was like a curtain that we'd got. So I was going to wear this curtain with this t-shirt on it at 90 degrees. So it was perpendicular. And I was thinking, after the first video had happened, I was at one of these posh drinks parties that my mum often has, and one of her friends came up to me, who's a jewellery designer, quite a successful jewellery designer. She's like, Kate Middleton has worn her stuff before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, so she's like really big jewellery designer, and she said to me, Maxie, darling, I saw your first video you did with the fashion. There's wonderful stuff. I'd love to break China. I'd love to get like my product out to China. Like, how would you be able to do that? It's like, well, I said, could you give me some of your earrings that I could wear at the next video we're doing in Paris? She said, yes, okay, that's fine. So before we left for Paris, I went into this jeweler's in Sloane Square, and she was just like, which earrings would you like to take with you? Well, any? She said, yeah, of course. I was like, those ones look all right. So she took them. I looked them up online. They cost something like $8,000. These earrings, like proper diamond earrings. And so we took these. So we had the concrete block. We had the perpendicular look. We were going to Paris. Now, all I was thinking about was, I cannot lose these earrings. These earrings need to stay on me. And so we had a plan of sticking the earrings to a toaster rack. To make,
of course,
like,
you did.
Yeah, to like make Maximus Bucharest look. Although he's got toaster rack on his face, he's also wearing like $8,000 worth of jewelry. And we walked around Paris. Now, in Paris, different was London, because Paris, they are very much more about the chic side of fashion. They like love suits. They look very well put together. So the wacky side of fashion doesn't really make a difference. So we went to 4 or 5 shows and like did the same trick. Like, Maximus, over here, over here, over here. No one gave a shit. No one cared who I was. It was so demoralizing. Remember, I was walking around Paris in a concrete block.
That's probably the most demoralizing outfit you could have been wearing.
It was awful. And it got to the point where it was also, we realized, the same paparazzi would go to the different shows because they knew exactly who they were looking for, who they wanted to get pictures of. So I was getting like visibly laughed at. And then eventually we thought, our last chance is to go to Bauma, the big Bauma show. Now, this was a big deal. And we thought, okay, how are we going to make a scene? And we found in Paris, lying in Paris, this Perspex big like plastic sheet. So we thought, if I wear this Perspex sheet, and we were doing this with another subscriber, Zach and Jay, who was Parisian. He's called Max. He was also called Max.
Right.
So me and him, we dressed up in these two outfits.
if we walk up to the front of the Balmain show where everyone's queuing, all the paparazzi are, under this like sheet that no one knows who we are, then maybe when we take the sheet off, they think we're these like really, really impressive models. Now, remember, I was then walking through Paris with a Perspex sheet over my head, with $8,000 worth of jewellery dangling from my face behind a concrete block. And they whipped off the Perspex sheet, and just everyone was like, who are you? It was awful. Even worse is that there was a lot of policemen there in France as well, because they'd had the Paris attacks relatively recently. So they went for a beeline for us. They didn't know what we were. They just saw two guys, one wearing a concrete block and one wearing a really baggy curtain. So quite rightly, they like went for us. And now if you watch the video, it's so funny because I'm walking, there's a shot of me walking, you can see a policeman going right for me. He's walking straight towards me to come and have a chat. At which point the other model, Max, walks in front of me. So he's the one who gets stopped by the police, and I just walk off with these like earrings dangling away. And then we managed to keep the earrings and give them back. But it was, that Paris trip was so demoralizing. It got even worse. Actually, on the last day, I was like, right, this Max guy wasn't there, so I was gonna be wearing the concrete block again. I got stuck in it. So We did the gym, like we went outside one of these shows and no one took any pictures. So I got quite embarrassed. So I just walked off down the street as if I was like making this big protest. And then I just stood in the street and I thought, right, previously it needed two people to take this big concrete block off.
Right.
So I thought, oh, it's so hot. I just need to get this thing off. So I tried to like maneuver it off my body, at which point I physically got stuck in concrete. And so there was at one point where just my legs, I was sat on the floor on the Paris pavement, just my legs sticking out, the top half, just a concrete block. And I just heard this old woman going, "Est-ce que je peux vous aider?" Which means something like, "Can I help you?" And my like GCSE French was like, "Oui." And the 85-year-old Frenchwoman pulled a concrete block off of me, and I was just like, "Merci beaucoup," and she just walked off on her day.
Sounds like a TGF video.
Honestly, it was mad. And so after that, like, we've kind of very much like shelved the Maximus Bucharest stuff.
What a story that is. So that video went up still, didn't
that
it?
That video went up. I still got a million, one, like 1.1 million views.
Just the trickle through from the first one,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, just the trickle through.
Yeah, but so was that, because I can't remember it. I have seen it, but I can't remember it. Could you piece the bits together to make a video, or was it more just a fail?
Zach did a really good job with it, but yeah. I think the message of the video was, this was a failure.
Right,
we
yeah.
failed here, but yeah. we did do some mad stuff in the process.
I think there's a success in the fact that you even had the fucking balls to do that.
I don't know where those balls came from. Those boys, they can, it's weird because I'm like quite a goody two shoes. Like, yeah. I've come from a school that like loves authority. Like, I know, like, when I get told to do something and not to break rules, I don't do it. And
right.
So, but with them, I'm suddenly like, yeah, fucking hell, I'll just walk into a French like street with a concrete block on me. I don't care what people think.
How nervous were you?
The first one, shitting myself.
What, the London one?
The London one.
Yeah.
I'd never done anything like this before.
You don't come across nervous. You come across like you are, like, I thought, that was the first time I'd heard about you. I think maybe I'd seen The Street Smart, but I hadn't put the two and two together. Yeah. And I was certain that after I watched that, not only was Maximus Bucharest a character, but Max Fosh was a character too. Because I thought it was...
He did the character.
I just thought it was so well done. Like, you just, you look, you're like flashed out, like you're red.
Yeah, I've got really red cheeks. It's one of the, like, the main jokes that I have on the channel, but I've got red cheeks.
But you didn't look embarrassed. Like, you're just, you've got that kind of model stare down to a T. Like, I thought they'd probably hired you from Mandy.com or something.
No, like, I was honestly shaking myself. I'd never done anything like that outrageous before. Like, not really would break any rules or hurting anybody.
But it's still, to have that many amount of eyes on you.
Oh, yeah. And then when I went in the show the next day, like, people were asking me, like, who styled me and, like, how like amazing I looked. At that point, I just kind of like white winged it and just said bollocks.
Wow.
Were you reluctant when they first asked you, or were you straight in? It's like, yeah, I'll do it.
No, I said I'll do it because I'm sure they'll be happy for me to say that I wanted to be associated with them in some way. Like, these guys were people who I'd like loved their content.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I'm trying to make it on this platform here, it's good to be in the room.
Yeah.
As it were. So being in a video there cannot do any harm. So that's the reason why I said yes in the first place. But
perfect. And you've kind of taken that similar elements of that and moved it over to your channel in terms of like, I don't know, just like outlandish content, I guess. Yeah. Like, one of your most recent videos that I watched and enjoyed was your search for a stock image girl.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea.
It was, yeah, one of the most, it's probably the, like, video series I'm most proud of, definitely.
How did you come up? Because I think lots of ideas on YouTube are kind of like remodeled ideas of somebody else's and stuff like that. And I just like take whatever Josh Peters did the week before and do that. But that was just an idea I've never seen anyone do before. How did that come into your head?
So it was beginning of lockdown, and yeah. I then realised I'd posted a video every Sunday for about a year and a bit, and I was really on, like, doing really well with the schedule. Lockdown hit, and I thought, well, my USB is large social gatherings and interviewing people at large social gatherings. So the banning of large social gatherings is quite tricky. So I had this frame in my flat, and I'd always said to my flatmate, I was like, mate, wait, I'm going to find out who that is. Like, and I initially planned on making one video because I thought it'd be really easy. I thought I'd known that people had, it was quite a famous picture, stock image picture. Mm. And so I just thought, right, I'll reverse image search it. I'll find out who she is. I'll message her. We'll have an interview. Happy days. Mm. I then found out it was a lot harder than that. So I went through so many like different bits of rigmarole to try and find out just anything about her. Because she'd been in my flat for 2 years, and I'd never been bothered to change out the picture. So I first reverse image searched it. I then found out that it was on Getty Images as a stock image you could buy. I then messaged the lead head archivist at Getty and said to him, mate, who is this person? He replied back saying...
How did you explain that without looking mental?
That was the hardest thing. The hardest thing was trying to come across as like genuinely doing something because I was intrigued and I thought it was a bit of entertainment rather than being creepy.
Yeah.
And so I don't begrudge anyone who didn't chat to me because they thought I was mental. I had a very like stock... kind of paragraph I'd spent about half an hour writing to try and convey all the different points. So I spoke to him and he said, we know who she is, but we can't tell you legally.
And so that's so annoying.
It was so frustrating. At which point I thought I then found her in Australia. I then put to my Instagram audience, someone from Australia said, oh, my friend, I think it's my friend because she did modeling around the same time. I then spoke to her. She then had a friend who worked on the producer at the early morning show of like their version of This Morning. So I went on Sunrise. talking about this, and I didn't know how big of a segment they were giving me. So they were like, hey Max, would you want to come on the show for a bit to talk about this Sarah situation? Do you want to come in for 5 minutes and chat? And I was like, yeah, of course. So they gave me this Skype email, and they're like, just call us, we'll call you about 5 minutes before you're due to go on air. It's no problem, mate. And I was sat in my flat, and it was obviously like 11:45, and they called me. And it's a black screen. You don't see them, but right. You can hear what's going on. And so I was speaking to the comms guy in the news. And they're like, okay, guys, Max, we're going live in 3, 2, 1. And then I heard this 2.5 minute, like, expose mini documentary about this whole story. So then I thought, oh my God, this is a big piece that they're writing. There's a big piece. I ended up, the segment ended up being like 11 or 12 minutes long.
Oh, mad.
Asking me questions. Like, the first question he asked was, when I first heard this, Max, I thought it was a bit creepy. You're not that creepy, are you? I was like, what do you say? No, I'm not. Thanks very much. No, I'm not Australian's Anthel Deck. So I chatted to him for a bit, and then a few people from my Instagram following were like super helpful finding like bits of data within the picture, like the serial number. And so the serial number was DV59 blah, blah, blah. And I then found out in 2005, which when the picture said it was on Getty, Digital Vision and Getty Images did this big merger. They bought like 20,000 images. So I thought, right, it's from Digital Vision. So I then found the old acquisitions director from Digital Vision. He said, yep, I was actually on the shoot for that particular picture. And I know, all I can tell you is that she's South African. So at which point I was like, okay, here we go. I then went on a website that does facial, like it picks up other faces that it thinks recognized on the internet, and found this model called Alana. It was just had South African Alana. I then found a photo shoot she did in 2010. I found her agents, her old agents. I emailed the agents. They said, yep, that is our ex-client. She hasn't spoken to us in 5 years, but we'll see if we can reach out to her. And they did. And I'd honestly spent 6 weeks on this. And
that's insane.
I then sent a letter to Alana. It's like, look, I understand this might be really weird and I don't want to pry at all, but like, this is something that my YouTube audience has like been really got behind. And, if I'd love to be able to chat to you for 5 minutes. And she just replied saying, no,
Really?
Don't talk to me.
After all that.
She was like, I all realise it's all fun and games, but that's when you're not the one people are searching for. I kind of feel like I'm in the Hunger Games. And I thought, look, do you know what? Fine. For that's completely her prerogative. And I left it at that. I finished the video there. Some people put in the comments, oh, this is stalking, this is outrageous. I didn't think so, because my intentions were only good. When she said please stop, I then stopped.
Yeah,
I finished up the story.
Yeah.
And so that's the story. But I now know she's called Alana. That's it.
Wow.
She's from South Africa.
What a great story.
It's a sad ending, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I was expecting us to then go on like Australian TV, because they were like, we found her. And, like, I honestly thought she could come to like my comedy gigs and like, I'll pay for her to tour the UK with me. I was having illusions of grandeur. And like, no, please fuck off.
But that's the kind of content you can expect to find on the YouTube channel Max Fosh. So is that the URL?
I mean, I think so.
Just whacking Max Fosh,
guys,
and you'll see it.
You know, you had to use the internet, it's fine.
There's loads of sort of big stunts like that, which is really good, which makes me feel like I need to do more than just sit in my room and slag off YouTubers. Maybe I'll do that next year. I find a stock image car and pretend it was my original idea.
Do it, I'll help. What's happened now is that I launched a series off that, the Special Private Investigator. Mm. And so I've got people to send me in ideas, and some of them have been really good. But now people honestly think that I am like the best detective in the world.
You did well.
I mean,
you
that's very kind. Well. But I got a message from a girl saying, "Hi, Max. I've recently just moved into a new house, and there's a wardrobe that's been there. And in the bottom drawer of the wardrobe, there's a tiny scrap of paper that was obviously a letter that just says the words, 'I'm the.'"
And like, oh God,
I want to find out what they are and who they are. I was like, I'm not a miracle worker. That is impossible to find out who that person is.
Brilliant. You mentioned briefly there your comedy gigs, stand-up.
Yeah.
Obviously something I always say I want to do, but don't have the bottle. But you've worn a fucking concrete suit around Paris.
Come on down, Jack.
So talk to me about that. How long have you been doing that?
So I've been doing that for, my first gig in December 2019.
Oh, wow.
So really recently. I've been wanting to do it for a while, because to go back to what you asked earlier, like, what do you want to do? What's your plan? Like, I don't want to just stay on YouTube.
Yeah.
Although it's an amazing platform, we've seen that people, creators have like a 10-year shelf life if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And you've got to constantly evolve and change up. And so I thought, I've always wanted to do stand-up. I've loved stand-up from a young age. I'd love to do stand-up. So the first time I was like, right, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna get the first one out of the way. So I didn't tell anyone I was going. I found an open mic night in Dalston, and I just spoke about, I don't know, like my school and what you talk about, so we got what you know. Mm. So I just spoke about like my school days, but I didn't tell anyone. It was quite a, like, a rough place. Mm. And to give you an idea, the guy right after me came up, huge guy, absolutely enormous, just said, "Guys, if anyone wants to heckle, just know I'm carrying a knife."
Oh, what?
That was his opening line, and everyone just like, I don't know whether that's a joke, but I mean, it's quite funny, but also very intimidating. So I did that for...
How did the first gig go?
I thought I killed it.
Really?
Did you get heckled?
No, I didn't. I thought it went okay. It wasn't great, but I just thought, right, I've just done that now.
Yeah.
Then I just started doing more and more. And I then very luckily, I mean, this is to go on a bit of a tangent. I also got lucky in the sense that I've always been a big believer of doing things that you wouldn't normally do, or just have a bit of fun trying things. That's how I got into radio presenting and then YouTube. And when I got down to London, I thought I wanted to do something just once a week, just to have a bit of fun. Like, I played five aside, but I love singing as well. So I went and joined a choir, not the most cool thing to do. But I joined a choir and I was singing away. And in this choir, I found out was a comedy agent who represented Stephen Merchant and Greg James.
Fucking hell.
So I was like, fucking hell. Like, Greg James is one of my idols.
Yeah.
She used to work with Ricky quite a lot.
Right.
I was like, oh my God. Anyway, I didn't say anything. And then she, after about a year, I started still doing Street Smart, still doing the YouTube stuff. Then after a year, she came to me and said, "Max, actually, I've had a job that's come in that Greg James doesn't want, or not right for him, he can't do it for some reason. Do you mind if I put you up for it?" It was for Marvel. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I got the gig.
Oh, wow.
So I did this presenting for Marvel. And then after that, she said, "Actually, you're not bad. Do you want to sign with me?" I was like, yes, I would. So it was suddenly like such a case of serendipity and luck. Just doing something that, for a bit of fun, meant that I had this amazing agent who could help me and tell me where to go. And she had a lot of, she said, I think you should do the Edinburgh Fringe. I was like, I agree, I'd love to do the Edinburgh Fringe. And so I was meant to be in Edinburgh in a week. So I then curated a show from January, February, March, and then lockdown happened. And so I haven't gigged since.
That's phenomenal work though. What a journey so far.
Oh, it's been mad.
And it feels like it's all happened in the space of a couple of years.
Oh, completely. And I'm just like riding the wave, just enjoying it.
Wow.
So
how have you find like writing actual structured jokes compared to just your offcuts kind of like witty?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And that's not really the kind of style that I'm going for. My style is very much, if you like your comedy, is Joe Lycett, James Veitch, Bo Burnham. Well, Bo Burnham less. I mean, he's my comedy god.
Yeah, he's ours. Yeah.
He's an absolute hero. But Joe Lycett, in the sense that I'm going to tell the story. Because I'm aware that the people who are going to come to the shows are people who have watched the videos.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to come and then for me to do 60 minutes of jokes like, so my wife, right? I don't want any of that. So I've got a screen behind me telling stories. So I've got a whole segment of what it's like at one of my mum's posh drinks parties.
Right, that's so good.
So I like do lots of stuff like that. So it's more story based. And I also do a bit of when I went to the porn convention in Vegas where I met Vitaly.
Oh, right. I think we've had an array of guests on this show, from YouTubers with up to 10 million subscribers. Max, I think it's safe to say you're at the start of your YouTube journey. You've done a fair whack, but I see so much potential in you. I think the amount of subscribers you've got now, around 220,000, something like that, that is an absolute crime. I think it's just going to go onwards and upwards. And I think no matter these YouTubers that come on that have tens of millions who sit there and go, yeah, follow your dreams, man. Yeah, just get out of your comfort zone. A lot of them have got lucky, might just be people they know in their friendship group, whereas you are very much testament to those kind of mantras and quotes about just sending Zach and Jay a message, one thing led to another, and you're here. So very inspirational hearing your stories, mate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
mate.
For coming on. You're an absolute joy to spend time with. And if anyone hasn't seen Max's videos, just whack in Max Fosh. He's very big on Meebo. Was it Meebo?
Bebo.
No.
Oh, Weibo.
Weibo.
And Bebo. You should see his Bebo. He's got 16 friends.
Before we leave, a parting question for series 4 of Happy Hour is, what is the meaning of life?
Friends.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it is.
Like, are we friends now?
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm the one who's going to be like slated in a video in about 6 months' time. Jack, I thought we were mates.
This has been Jack Makes Happy Hour. He's been Stevie. He's been Max. And now we're friends. I think we should go off for a game of bums.
Jack Makes Happy Hour.
This was a Stakhanov production.